Mark Berner, your program between clients and between consulting methods. She consults with us for a bit today. Mary, thanks for giving us some time. Appreciate it.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Now, let's begin with the Syracuse situation. That story opens up, and what we're hearing now is some of that stuff may be 10 years old. The wife of this guy who's accused of molesting students knew about this, supposedly ESPN knew about this. And I understood that one of the reasons that local media didn't go with it because some of the stuff sounded unreliable. I guess my question to you is, we're hearing about this 10 years later. Does a statute of limitations apply?
It can. Now, here's the key to this. Now, there's a phone interview between the wife and one of the accusers. And that phone interview, if proven as to when that occurred, whether it was in 2002 or 2003, that may help the statute of limitations as far as what type of cause of action can be made in this. But there's no doubt if you listen to some of that interview, wow. Some of the things that the wife knew about, some of the things that occurred. It's a terrible story. It truly is.
And there's a report that comes out of an English paper, I guess, saying that the wife actually watched the husband molest the boy?
In the phone interview, I haven't read that article that you're discussing, but in the phone interview, she does have, in the transcript, there's a great deal of knowledge that she imputes to herself about what she knew about what her husband was doing with some of these young boys.
According to, and I believe this is the Daily Mail, and this is directly out of it, Lori Fine allegedly told one of her husband's three accusers in a recorded phone call that she suspected he had done the same to other boys, but that she never did anything to stop it. She also said to have revealed that she slept with one of the victims once he turned 18. As it emerged, that tapes had been in the hands of police and ESPN for nearly 10 years and no action was taken. Now, obviously, this is very preliminary and we're just talking here, but could it eventually come down to the fact that Lori Fine could also be either implicated or indicted for knowingly harboring information that she thought might be harmful to somebody else?
Sure. I mean, a short answer to your question, yes, absolutely. What she knew, when she knew it, and what she did about it are sort of the three questions that have to be answered as far as this timeline and where the investigation is going to go.
Yeah, first for us to hear about the Sandusky saga, and that's a separate story to talk about. Now this makes me wonder, are we just going through another one of these news cycles where this seems to be the hot story now? That you're hearing about inappropriate relations between coaches and players. Maybe it's been going on all the time and nobody talked about it, but now I think every athletic program is going to be under question. Thoughts?
I think the same thing. I think that this will draw a spotlight to the sports, how much money universities and colleges, how much they rely upon their sports programs. And if that reliance upon these sports programs and how much money comes into the universities from these things, does that outweigh, in at least some of the officials' minds or the people in charge of the universities, does that outweigh if they hear about bad conduct, such as what these coaches are alleged to have done? Do they put it under the rug? Do they hide it somehow? Just because of how much, you know, money and power comes through to the university through the sports programs.
I'm hoping I use the right term, but I have to wonder if now universities are going to have some sort of boilerplate policy that sort of insulates them from potential lawsuits, either by distancing themselves or putting up some sort of new rules and regulations for the amount of contact that players may have with coaches when they are not on the field of play. You follow what I'm going?
I do. And, you know, in this, like, for example, the Sandusky case, being Penn State, being a state school, there's now legislation that Pennsylvania is taking a look at about the public domain as far as how much information should a state-funded university put out. How much information should citizens who are paying taxpayer dollars that fund these universities, how much information do these universities need to put out to the public? And if anything that comes from such, you know, scandalous, horrific crimes that are being alleged here, maybe because these are state-funded schools, maybe a good thing will come out, that more information can be made to the public about what is going on in these coaching programs.
Back to the Sandusky issue for a bit. We learned that it was a woman that had contributed to his charitable concern. that had ensured that he did not have to go directly to jail. If you could fill me in on that, that seemed to be an irregularity. Why did he get the bailout that he got?
Well, she recused herself now, so now that there is a new judge. But, yes, she was the judge in play that allowed sort of the bailout kind of incident to occur. But she's now recused herself due to her relationship with the Second Mile charity organization. But, yes, that's definitely something. I mean, she needed to recuse herself because she was too tied up to his charitable organization. That shouldn't happen because there is a sense of impropriety there that shouldn't be in play.
All right. Now, I know that there are links back to Texas. I guess it's from the Second Mile or maybe Sandusky's other type of coaching. What are people saying in Texas?
I'm pretty sure it's the same thing that everybody else is saying. In Pennsylvania, they have the presentment, which means when it went to the grand jury, a presentment is a very long narrative about all of the stuff that Sandusky was alleged to have done to these eight boys. And if anyone takes a look and reads these, 25-odd pages, just the amount of outrage that will come across to anyone who reads that, it's the same here in Texas as I'm sure it is in Florida. When you deal with a predator like this, what's the worst thing that can happen is that there's silence and inaction, and that's what seemed to take place at Penn State. And, I have a feeling that the civil lawsuits that are going to be coming about to that university are going to be numerous.
I'm wondering, we know we have felony potential charges here, mm-hmm. We have felony charges, but what about the possibility of a litany of civil actions against the people who are being accused of doing these things? And I'm trying to make sure that I don't pronounce guilt before we've gone through the process. But Mary, as someone who has been a jury consultant for a number of years, do you see a potential for a litany of civil actions as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is due to the knowledge that some of what the allegations are showing, what the grand jury indictment is showing, is that the amount of knowledge of the people higher up, whether it's just Joe Paterno and then his boss, and obviously there's been some punishment already with these gentlemen losing their jobs, but the amount of knowledge that was there and nothing was done, that's where you're going to see causes of action from the civil side from these victims.
Sticking with Paterno for just a moment, when it was learned just a few days ago that Paterno himself is suffering from a form of cancer, one had to wonder if that story, and this may be my diabolical mind, was that story possibly put out to soften the way for when jury selection comes down that might involve him?
I would hate to think that was the case. I mean, it could be, if you flip it around, not as diabolical, but maybe his illness. Now, if you know anything about the justice system, it moves quite slowly. So maybe he's putting it out there as an informative thing that he may, he may be undergoing chemo. He may have some stuff that's coming up that makes him not available for different things. I'd like to think of human nature in that aspect and not so much of being a trial strategy.
The Syracuse paper is saying that the U.S. Attorney's Office and Secret Service can take the lead in the Bernie Fine probe. This is according to the Onondaga County District Attorney is saying that. So this is likely to be a huge mess up at Syracuse, and that program may find itself getting dismantled.
And maybe, and I hate to say this because I'm a sports fan too, but maybe it should be. I mean, let's face it, what these gentlemen are being alleged to have done to young boys, this is a crime. This is violence. This is a terrible thing. Just because your job involves some sort of sports thing does not take you out of being a criminal, hence being punished. So sometimes these programs, really, we need to take a more firm look at what is being done when allegations are being made.
There is an advocates group, an abuse advocates group, that's calling for action against Jim Boeheim, the Survivors Network of Those Abused by Priests. It's called SNAP, issued a statement calling on Syracuse University to discipline head men's coach Jim Boeheim the day after his longtime assistant Bernie Fine was fired as a result of the allegations. In the early days of an investigation into the allegations, Boeheim called into question Bobby Davis, a former ball boy who accused Fine of molesting him. The Hall of Fame coach called the accuser a liar and suggested that he was pursuing money. SNAP defended Fine's accusers and criticized Boeheim's comments. In a written statement put out Monday, the organization demanded that Boeheim be disciplined, but fell short of calling for his ouster. There was an interview that was done with NBC's Bob Costas for his HBO program. And I had to wonder, you've been an attorney and jury consultant. Tell me, what would you have said if the person that you were consulting said, you know, I want to talk, tell what I know, and I want to talk to Bob Costas? Would you not have advised him not to do that interview?
Yes. I think that in several factors. The first being, it was a phone-in interview. You never want to phone in a defense. And phoning in a defense for a civil matter, that's one thing. This is a criminal matter involving children and sexual molestation. I know when I heard it, I was just, wow. I could not believe that his lawyer allowed him to do this. I thought it was a very poor strategy move, and the way in which Mr. Sandusky discussed what he, you know, alleged that he did, I thought it was very insensitive, and I don't think that it helped his case one bit.
Well, now, of course, the question comes to you as a jury consultant. Is it going to be more difficult, given the mass media play, to potentially select juries to sit on either case?
I think it is. I think what you will see from probably the defense side on both of these matters would be a motion for a change of venue, meaning that, you know, you would want to get it into a county that's not as close as to where this accident or incident, I should say, have occurred. And, you know, that would probably be your step one. Your step two is just going to have to be a very, very long voir dire as far as finding out jurors, what they've read about the case, what their impressions are about this case, their opinions about molestation. It will be a very tough, intensive jury selection in order for these gentlemen to have a fair trial.
Mary Griffiths is also a new mom. How's that new baby?
She is doing fantastic. We're sleeping through the night, so Mama is very happy.
And so you're back to practicing and working with clients in your various interests.
Absolutely.
We look forward to you and Kendall Coffey coming to Daytona Beach to do a legal forum with us. I sent you an email. Take a look at it. Let me know what you think.
Sure.
And as always, a pleasure. Mary Griffiths from Trial Consulting Enterprises. I believe I got the name right.
Yeah.
Right? And the website to that effect, joining us live today from Dallas on WNDB. Mary, always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
John LeBoux.